Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Welcome to Communication Studio with me, Mike Knott. Welcome back if you've listened previously, and welcome if you're a brand new listener. If you haven't listened before, please check out our previous episodes, including the importance of communication, how to present like a pro, storytelling, both telling a story to win the room, and the world of storytelling with my special guest, Jeffra Elvin. How to speak volumes without words, practicing those non-verbal communication skills, and how to handle the heat when things don't always go your way. All previous episodes of the Communication Studio podcast. Today, though, we are tackling virtual victory, the unique challenge of presenting in a virtual environment, something that has happened so much since 2020. I mean, it was up and coming up until 2020. In 2019, there were plenty of people working from home, doing Zoom conversations and WebEx and Teams. I don't know if Teams was called Teams then, but it is now. So we're going to talk about how to maintain audience engagement, how to optimize your setup as well, something that's often overlooked, and deliver impactful presentations through all of your favorite platforms such as Zoom, Teams, Google, and even via webinars as well for bigger performances. So in our increasingly virtual world, mastering online presentations is more important than ever. So we're going to explore how to deliver standout virtual presentations that captivate and connect. I've had all kinds of experiences presenting in person and virtually, and I think there are benefits and disadvantages of each one. I'm going to take a few minutes to go through some of those now. For example, once I was doing a big presentation to a customer and they used WebEx. Now, this was only in 2024, so unusual. We don't see as much WebEx these days. When I was younger, WebEx was the go-to platform. Everybody used WebEx and you had to dial in on your phone, connect it to the meeting, and it just feels very old-fashioned compared to what we have now. And Zoom, I remember first using Zoom in 2017. So Zoom has been around a long time before the pandemic. It wasn't a pandemic thing. It just exploded a bit in the pandemic. Now, I was presenting on WebEx early in last year, and about 20 minutes in, give or take, unbeknownst to me, something happened. I have absolutely no idea because this doesn't usually happen to me. But the video, my sound and my speakers, so my microphone and my speakers stopped working at the same time, and it stopped sharing my screen. So something happened on WebEx while I was mid-demo. Obviously, I'm in the zone. I'm presenting, I'm thinking about what I'm showing, what's going to happen next, whether this aligns to what they wanted to see. So I'm not expecting WebEx to have stopped sharing my screen, and no notification came up on the screen at all. Now, the cameras were there, but they're tiny little dots, and I'm really focusing on what I'm showing, so I'm not able to see that they're giggling a little bit, and they're sort of trying to wave at me. But eventually, I pause for any questions, which is how I usually do my demo. So I'll do a little section, pause, use kind of a tell approach. So as I was wrapping up that section, and I started bringing my attention back to them, I noticed they were laughing and waving at me, and it was embarrassing. And I managed to reconnect the audio. I think I joined again or something, you know, switch it off, switch it on. And everything was working fine. So I do not know what happened. And I reshared my screen and I went back and we had to recover from that. Even worse, it was, of course, the one session that my manager had chosen to join to watch what I do. Not what you want. But I managed to cover it. So we have to prepare for these tough situations, these unexpected technical situations. Now, this can happen whether you're on site with a customer or whatever it might be, with your manager, with your team, with an audience, or virtually, the internet can cut out. There could be some sort of incident at home. You can have a power cut. Now, this has happened to me in offices and at home. So being in one place or the other doesn't guarantee that it will or won't happen. Infrastructure is pretty robust these days, so it's just luck of the draw if things are going to cut out. But it's how you handle it. What do you do in that situation to handle it? So the first tip I would give is make sure you know your material. If you know your material, being cut off in the middle for whatever reason shouldn't distract you from being able to pick up and carry on. If you're confident you know what you're talking about, it can actually do you a favor because it can make it seem, oh, there wasn't just a prepared script that he had to stick to. He's been disrupted and he's managed to go back to into it and it hasn't affected anything. It gives them a bit more faith in whatever it is you're trying to explain or sell or show to them. But also being prepared means that should that happen to you, you are able to pick up without feeling too flustered or panicky, because again, that doesn't come across great if that's how you're feeling. And unfortunately, the way you appear as a human makes a big difference to whether they're going to do what you say, buy what you're selling, or take your advice. So I made a laugh. I said, oh, that's so embarrassing. Okay, where did you stop hearing me? And then I made a bit of a joke about it, got them to replay it back to me. So were they even listening at the point it cut out? And it was great to get that engagement. They laughed a bit. They told me where they heard me. They pointed out how funny it was watching me on mute, thinking I was being heard by them. And I was like, ha 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 ha. And then we carried on the demo and it went really well. They were fully engaged now. I'd reset in the middle of the meeting. Don't forget, an hour long meeting, a 2 hour long meeting, it's a long time for us to stay focused on the same subject. So having this little humorous break in the middle, which of course was not planned, actually really helped my process. And we did succeed. They did buy from us. And so that was a great story in the end, but very difficult at the time. So it can happen at any time for you. You've probably also maybe had an experience where you've been on stage and the microphone stops working, or you're not sure people can hear you, or you thought there was going to be a monitor in front of you and there isn't. I was once on stage. This is completely true. On stage, now we didn't have the largest audience, which is probably a blessing at the end, but we had videos we wanted to play. And those videos were hosted online and they just needed a reasonable internet connection to play. They weren't, you know, particularly demanding. In all our rehearsals, it worked perfectly. We get there on the day, we do a technical run through as you should. It worked perfectly. What I didn't know was that the guest Wi-Fi at the event space expired. It had a session timeout. I'm not sure what it was. Let's call it 2 hours or something. And it just cut out without us knowing, in the middle of me being on stage, not during the rehearsal or setup or anything earlier than that. No, while I'm on stage. So I go to play that video seamlessly, like confidently. I'm going to press my clicker and it's just going to play. And nothing happened. It just gave me an error. And I'm stood there thinking, oh, what do I do now? This is the worst. So I had to go to the screen, exit out the presentation, load the videos. Oh, it was just awful. You can't imagine it being worse. It was as bad as it sounds. And there's not a lot I can do in that situation. I was stuck. The videos wouldn't play. So my takeaway was never ever rely on an online video again. Now, maybe that should be obvious, common sense, but in all of our rehearsals, it worked. And unfortunately, the company I was doing the presentation with used Google Drive. And so everything was on Google Slides, Google Drive. And so you have to use online video. And I've just sort of made a bit of a rule to myself not to rely on that for important pictures anymore or any important presentation as well. So learn from any of these mistakes as well, or any issues that happen. Sometimes they're in your control, sometimes they're outside of your control, but be as prepared as you possibly can.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
Now I wanted to be a little bit more positive now and talk about three things you can do to have as good a virtual meeting as possible. Number one, something that's sometimes overlooked. And you can do this over time, so I'm not suggesting you have to go and spend lots of money. It's just something to consider and think about, because it is not always thought about. And I sort of challenge you over the next few days as you attend online meetings, pay attention to this and see who has nailed this and who hasn't. And that is your technical setup. So you should have a decent microphone. Now, that could be a headset, it could be a external microphone, or maybe your laptop microphone is good enough, but test it. See, record yourself on Zoom or Teams. Nobody else has to be there. And play it back. Maybe play it on a different device to your laptop. Play it on your phone where you watch videos and you watch TikTok and Instagram, and play it on that device and say, does this sound as good as the videos I watch and enjoy? If you don't have a good microphone, there's loads out there. There is a USB microphone that's, you know, you can get them for say £20 or euros, right the way up to hundreds. Have a look around. I'm not going to name any particular brands or what I use. I don't think that's useful. And, you know, it might not match what you want to do, and that's totally fine. There's several out there that are very popular and common. I use quite a professional one these days because I do this. So it's important for me to have a very decent microphone. In the past, I've used others that have been just as, you know, good for Zoom and Teams, but it makes such a difference if your audio comes across in a crisp and clear manner. Also, test your sound levels. Record yourself again. Are you coming across too loud, too quiet? Is there a lot of echo? Is there background noise? Tools like Zoom and Teams have so many suppression features. They are amazing, absolutely amazing technology that will suppress most things. But test if it's working. And echo. Echo is horrible. Meeting rooms are awful for echo. Absolutely hate it. So make sure the room you're in is decent. You know, add some curtains or add some cushions or whatever to add a bit of an acoustic balance so it doesn't come across as echoey. So test your sound levels and make sure you've got a decent microphone. That's on the audio side, but what about the video side as well? So make sure you've lit your area well. Now, you don't have to spend loads of money on this as well. Just a simple light that could be, say, £10-15 on Amazon, placed in front of you but behind the camera, can light you really well. You could also get one of those light rings. I've never tried one of those, but I think those would be very effective as well. I've seen lots of people using those. I've got a light in front of me behind the camera that just lights me in a subtle way, so I'm always well lit. You can't tell if it's dark outside of my office or if it's light. It doesn't really make too much of a difference. Try to position yourself away from the sun as well. Now, I know this might be difficult if you're in an east-facing room. It's going to be light in the morning, and same with west-facing for later in the day. If you can pick a neutral spot where the sun isn't blinding you or making you a silhouette, that's going to be beneficial as well. It's a subconscious thing, but people will trust you more. They'll listen to you more if it's nice to look at. And I don't mean you, I just mean the picture. And if your audio sounds good as well, they're going to want to hear you speak more. It's just natural. Other things you can do in your background is have like a plant. A plant signals trust to a subconscious mind. It's absolutely bonkers, but it's true. So having a nice plant in the background, if not a nice background. Now, virtual backgrounds are very popular. Use a virtual background as well if you want to. That's a great way. If you don't have the best background or you just want to keep it neutral, use a blur or a virtual background. That's great as well. Of course, if you're happy with your background, then have a nice, clean, professional background. It can help. I've got a couple of pictures behind me and my setup, nothing too heavy or crazy that's going to distract people, but it gives a couple of clues about me and my wife on one side and then one of my dogs in a picture on the other side, and it's just nice to look at. The third piece is connectivity. So as I said, infrastructure is pretty stable these days, but we can't know when our power is going to go, when our internet is going to go. The majority of us will use a laptop. So if the power goes, you're not stuck, but you are stuck without internet. Most of us will have access to a mobile hotspot. So test it. Connect to your mobile hotspot from your laptop. Make sure you've tested that out. That way, if your internet goes, you can quickly connect to the hotspot without panicking too much. You've already prepared, you've already tested it out. And the same goes if you have a power cut as well. About once a year where I live on an old farm. So we have lots of overhead cables coming to us for phone or internet and power. So when they want to cut the trees in the local area, they have to turn our power off. Now it's a planned power cut, so we get some notice, but it's always a weekday. And I can't book the entire day, just go, hey, I'm not gonna have power some of this day. So I have to prepare for it. And on that day, I managed to still perform. I still have my laptop for the day. I make sure it's fully charged. The power's not off, you know, the entire day. It's off for a few hours at some point between 9 and 5. That's about as specific as they get. And as soon as that happens, I switch over to my laptop and turn my hotspot on. Now, to most people, this would be common sense, but if you're not somebody who's tested this out, you're just living on a wing and a prayer that everything's going to work, make sure you have that connectivity backup plan as well. It will save you when you're in the middle of that really important pitch and something like your internet or your power goes, you have that backup, you can make it really smooth and nobody will even notice. Now, number two is engagement tactics. So how to use visuals effectively, how to incorporate slides, videos, or other interactive elements. This is a big subject for me. I tend to be of the belief that most people, and this is a very bold statement, and I apologize if I offend you with this, but I believe most people do not use visuals effectively. By visuals, I mainly mean Google Slides or PowerPoint. A good slide should be a visual aid to what you're saying. You are the presentation, not the PowerPoint. If your PowerPoint is the presentation and you're just the voiceover, then unfortunately you're doing it wrong. They are buying or listening or taking advice from you. Anything you show on the screen or share should aid what you're saying. You shouldn't be aiding what the visual is showing. So by that, I mean, let's say I'm telling a story about virtual environments. So I might just have an image on the screen now of a Zoom logo and a Teams logo, and maybe a picture of a desk in the background. Something really highly visual that's not got a lot of detail, doesn't take a lot of time to absorb or focus on. And so then you're listening to what I say. So use your visuals, but use them effectively. Also consider multimedia as well. Attention is one of the most difficult things to keep hold of from a human. Our attention spans tend to be quite limited, even the best of us, and we're easily distracted by new and exciting things. So what better way to take advantage of that characteristic of a human and use your visual aids to keep that engagement? So change what's on your visual aid. So let's say it's a slideshow. Change the visual every now and again as you're talking. It doesn't have to change much, but just have it change as you change subject. Don't add lots of text. Ever. If you're presenting, don't add lots of text. If you're sending it afterwards, have lots of text, that's fine. But I'm talking about presenting remotely. You need to keep their engagement because there could be something exciting out of the window happening. There could be a noise in the house they're listening to. Their phone could be going off. Slack could be lighting up, or Teams. How do you keep their attention in that moment? You've got to be the most engaging you can be. Even if you have a really exciting topic, an exciting piece of software to show them, you still need to keep their engagement. So change your visual as you're talking. It aids your talk track. So as you're talking, change the visual and keep it interesting. You can also incorporate videos, having a mix of media. So we are, let's say I have an introductory slide, then I'm going to show something and I might have a 30-second video to introduce it. Great. Don't overdo it, but adding that little break, that little teaser in, keeps everyone alive. It adds a bit of music in maybe, a nice exciting video. Then you go into the subject. You've just broken the session up. You've kept their engagement. You've reignited their interest in what you're talking about. If you can keep doing that over and over again, keep sparking that interest, they'll never sway away from your screen and they'll hear every word you say. If you don't do that, their attention will naturally drift. And I'm sure every single person listening has had that happen to them, where their attention has drifted. I also bet everybody listening, I bet you have also had the situation where they go, Mike, well, what do you think? And I go, sorry, my internet cut out for a second. Can you repeat that? Which does not work anymore. We all know your video was working, Mike. We know you could hear us. So keep that engagement. Now, the second thing is call on participants. So ask them questions, use polls or use chat features. Get them engaged in the content by interacting with it. So every now and again, ask them questions. They don't have to be put you on the spot questions. just nice little questions. One of the things I do is I put some sort of provocative stat up or provocative statement up, not a negative one, just a provocative one that could be discussed. And then I say, what do people think when they hear this? There's no right or wrong answer. And then I get people engaging. And maybe the first time you only get a couple of people interact, but then people get the idea. And by the third time you're doing it, you're getting quite a few different voices. It gives people confidence. It makes them feel involved in the content and it keeps their engagement. Don't necessarily just say, anybody got any questions? Because that can just give you a tumbleweed. And that's not what you want. But if you can ask provocative questions, what do we think when we hear next slide, please? One of my all-time bugbears and pet peeves. Next slide, please. Oh, drives me up the wall. So ask them what they think. So I've done this in one of my courses. I've said, what do you think when you hear next slide, please? And then you get people going unprepared, not organized, not working as a team, distracts you from the story. And people add those sorts of comments and everyone adds their little input. And there are so many different opinions and ways you could put it that everybody feels included. Everyone's engaged in what you're saying. And now everybody's anticipating what's coming next because you've got them engaged. And you can do this remotely. Just last week, I had to run a week's worth of enablement for a geographically split group of people, 50 people split across Europe. We had an office in France, office in Germany, office in Ireland, and office in the UK, as well as some people remotely as well across Europe. 50 people to engage for an entire week. But we did it. And by Thursday, we had the best, most entertaining and valuable session ever. And yet we didn't meet in person once. You don't have to meet in person to get collaboration, to get engagement, and to build relationships. It's a myth. Of course, meeting in person is great and wonderful and lovely, and we should always do that, but it's not essential. It's not required. You can do it without it. I've got great relationships with people I've never met. Final tip is to address attendees by their name, if possible, to create a sense of connection. So you'll notice people do this sometimes. Now, some people do this well, some people do this badly, and some people don't do it at all. And you'll be one of those three. But what's nice is to, you know, let's say I'm on a call with Greg and a few other people, and Greg asks a question. I could say, ah, oh, great question, Greg. I'm glad you asked that. I was, you know, just add it in subtly is really, really good. But I've seen people do it like this as well, and it's painful. They'll go, Greg, I'll tell you what, Greg, that is a really good question. What Greg's done? And I'm like, okay, stop saying their name now. We know what you're doing. So don't overdo it, but it's really good to talk to people by name. It builds a sense of connection, makes it seem like you're taking them seriously and listening to them as well. So that's technical setup and engagement tactics. Let's talk through delivery techniques.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So how do we deliver all of this? So I've talked about technical setup, engagement tactics at length. How do we deliver this and keep engagement through our delivery? Let's talk about voice first. We're on a podcast. It's good to talk about voice. But this is going to sound so obvious, but again, I feel like it's something that we miss. We don't always get it right. And I'm still on that journey as well. Speak clearly and vary your tone. You need to sound excited sometimes and speed up, and you need to sound serious and slow down. And you can use pitch, whether you're male or female, you can use pitch. You can sound really excited and go a bit higher pitch because you really want to talk about the value of something and get their attention. And then you can lower it down when you want to make a point and keep it serious. And you can do that in your own way, but it's really good. And I tell you what, if you've got a pet, particularly a dog, you will talk to that pet in a particular tone. And when they're good, you'll go, oh, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Your pitch is higher. You're a little bit faster. But when they're not listening, what do? You go, right, stop, listen. It's slower. It's more urgent. And it's deeper. And that's, That's how you do it. And you know what? That works. They don't understand the language we speak. They understand our tone and our pitch. And humans are exactly the same, except we have that language barrier in the way. Because we can understand each other, we sometimes forget that the way we speak makes a massive difference to how we communicate and how we engage with things. So if you're on a remote call, a virtual call, and you want it to really go well, make sure you are confident and you are performing. You're speaking clearly, you're varying your tone, your pace, and your pitch, and you will get more of their attention. It's guaranteed. The more interesting you sound, the more interested they will be. Second, maintain eye contact by looking at the camera. Now, again, sounds like an obvious one, but here's the thing sometimes people miss. The camera is off center from the screen they're looking at. So you're looking at them, but they don't think you're looking at them because the camera's not there. So position your camera in the center of where you're going to be looking. Mine is a really weird position. My camera is on the right-hand side of my left monitor because that ends up being pretty central. Also, my left monitor is the monitor I share. So when I'm sharing my content, I look like I'm looking at the people. I've got two other monitors, but those aren't the ones I'm going to be sharing. So they're not the ones I'm going to be looking at when I'm focusing on the content. And if they share to me, I put the content on that screen as well. So I'm constantly always looking at the audience. So make sure you're doing that with your camera when you're in a virtual session. And if you can't do that because your camera's built into your laptop and your laptop's off center, buy yourself a webcam. They're not expensive and it's worth doing. That's exactly what I've done. Finally, use gestures, and we've talked about this in other episodes. Use them sparingly to emphasize key points. Doesn't matter how long you're speaking for, if you've only got a 1 minute session, you can do this. So, one, by showing your hands, a bit like having a plant in the background, if you show your hands, you gain more trust. It's a really bizarre thing, but I think it's that subconscious effort of there's nothing distracting them. They don't have their phone in their hand. They're not doing something else while they're talking to me. They're not typing, because that's the fear. Sometimes we think people are just typing on Slack or Teams to their colleagues instead of listening to us. And sometimes, unfortunately, that is true. But if you use your gestures, if you know, when you're making a really key point, you put your hands in front of the camera and then you lower them back down, it can really help emphasize the point you're making. And again, it's something different, something visual to look at. It will keep their attention. It's a subconscious thing. They won't notice it. They won't go, oh, I just saw his hands. I'm more attentive now. You know, it's going to be a more subconscious thing, but it will make a big difference. If they just see your head and shoulders on a webcam, on a virtual meeting, it will get boring after a while. So mix it up, use gestures, facial expressions, raise your hands every now and again to make a point. I used to have to show an ID check and I used to have to use my passport. Now, the amount of times I actually showed that were low compared to the number of times I talked about it. But I used to have my passport next to me in my drawer. So when I was getting on one of those calls where I might have to mention it, I just get the passport out of the drawer and have it on the desk. Then whenever I talked about having to do an ID check via my phone, I used to lift my phone in front of the camera as a prop. And then when I talked about doing an ID check, I just grabbed my passport. It could have been a fake passport. Nobody knew I wasn't using it, but I was using it as a prop, a visual aid to what I was talking about. There was no need for a slide. I was just doing something different that kept their attention. And it can make a massive difference to the amount people engage with you. There's a final element I want to add on to all of this. So we've talked about technical setup, engagement tactics, and delivery techniques. One thing we've ignored is the competition. You will be up against something or someone. If you're in sales, you will be up against competitors. But there's also the competition of doing nothing. So maybe you're in professional services and you're looking for them to adopt something you're saying. Maybe you're in some kind of consultant that could be anything from software consultant to engineering consultant to mental health consultant. And maybe you want them to take your advice. You've got to imagine the competition is them not listening to you and doing nothing. There's always competition. So the more you can get this engagement up on a virtual level, the more they are likely to listen to you and want more or take on board what you're saying. If you're in sales, I always think the biggest thing you want to achieve from most of your sales meetings, not all of them, most of them, will be them wanting more. I was speaking to a colleague earlier today, and he said, what we want out of the meeting we're going to is for them to want to book another session with us. That's exactly it. Keep them teased for the next session. We want more. We want more. And eventually that will line up to we want to sign. Every single meeting you're on, everything I've mentioned today will make a massive difference. So make sure your technical setup is good, your engagement is great, and your delivery techniques are good as well. And you will have a fantastic meeting where people want you time and time again.
Confident, captivating, Communication Studio.
So now it's time for three quick fixes to perform better with virtual presentations. One, always prepare. Perform a check. Test your tech and your presentation materials in advance. I do this all the time and nobody ever knows it. I will log into Zoom before a Zoom call. I'll create my own meeting and I'll just check that my microphone and my speakers are all set up correctly and my webcam's working. Every day without fail. Even though I've got no reason to believe it's not working, I check that. Then you don't get on a call and go, oh, hang on. I mean, how many times have you been on a call on Zoom and someone's there and they're trying to connect to audio and people are giving them tips? Check this, click this box. Ah, it's awful. And that's the impression you've given them. And it's not always your fault. It happens. But if you can prepare, you can try to avoid it. Number two is a big favorite of mine. Keep it concise. Plan for shorter sessions if necessary. It doesn't have to be an hour long. Make it half an hour. Nobody ever cares about a meeting ending early. Everybody cares about a meeting overrunning. If you can get them wanting more, you've done a great job. Now, don't squeeze things into half an hour when they need to be an hour. Of course, I'm not saying that, but don't drag things out for the sake of it. I don't think there are many people saying, I wish I had more Zoom and Teams meetings. And finally, have a plan B. Prepare for technical issues by having backups, like having your hotspot ready, like having a backup microphone or a backup location. Should there be, you know, maybe your office is in your house and today you've got loud construction work outside, or today one of your children is home sick and they're being very loud about it, unfortunately. All understandable, everybody goes through this. But try to plan around it. If you've got that really important meeting and your partner's taking care of your child, move to that secondary location. No one's gonna know or care, but it means you're less distracted, you can be more engaging, and you can be happier and more relaxed as well, which makes a difference to how you present. When you present stressed, it reflects onto the meeting. Nobody knows why, but it affects your performance. Now, I've delivered a lot of my opinion today and my thoughts. And now I've done a lot of research on this and I think I've grabbed the key things, but of course I may have missed things or I may be wrong or you may want to challenge me on certain things. So if you would like to give me an example of when you've seen a really bad audience and you've had a really bad experience, please share it with me. I will happily read it out on the next podcast or we can just have a chat about it if you'd rather not share. I'd also like you to think about how you might handle a disengaged audience. And do you recognize when you have a disengaged audience? For example, if you have a disengaged audience during a webinar or a virtual presentation, maybe you can introduce interactive breaks, like a breakout room on Zoom, or quick polls in the middle, or a quiz. That's something I've been doing lately in my job, is introducing lots of quizzes. It gets people really engaged, they feel involved, and it makes such a difference. Just three quick questions. They don't have to be particularly complex or difficult, and it helps just keep that audience engagement. So thank you very much for listening to today's episode on virtual victory. How to use technology, engagement, and delivery to deliver the best virtual presentations you can. And if you have any tips for virtual presenting, things you've spotted, things you do that I haven't mentioned, please share with me, and I might even feature it on the next episode. And from there, I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Communication Studio podcast. I hope you're having a great day wherever you are. And please listen again. It means the world to me. And if you've enjoyed it, please repost on LinkedIn or share your own post about Communication Studio. It helps me so much. And until next time, this has been Communication Studio with Mike Knott.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.